What kind of immigration reform would you intend to support as a member of Congress?
Well, certainly we now know and we've seen over the last so many years that the immigration policies that we have right now are failing us. So I believe that an overarching immigration reform is necessary. For those who have seen me or heard me on the campaign, I am the grandson of a Mexican immigrant. My grandfather came here in 1921 from Michoacán, Mexico. But, you know, he came over here according to what the law was, you know, so he knew what he had to do. He followed the rule of law and became a citizen. Not everybody wants to become a citizen, Rick. I mean, I think a lot of people want to think that's exactly what it is. But, you know, we have 185 ways through the visa programs to come into this country. And for me, it's a national security issue. We want to make sure that we are welcoming to for immigrants to come into this country. That's who we are. That's how we were born as a nation. But we need to fundamentally know who's in our country, what's your purpose, where are you at. And I think when you don't do that and you have almost like a free-for-all, it becomes a little uneasy. And I think we've seen a lot of those things in the past. So I believe right now we need to look at, you know, how do we make sure that the people coming into the border in our country, whether it's through the southern border, even the northern border, seaports, airports, you know, that we're a land of laws. There's a right way to do it. We're not doing it right now. We need to get back to it.
During your recent forum here on NHPR, you said that you would support an increase in HB2 visas issued to foreign workers. How would you work within your own party to make that happen?
If you've been granted an HB2 visa once, so I already have that information that I alluded to earlier. I know who you are. And it really came to light to me with one of the young men who actually does some work for me. You know, those people that he could count on year after year because they were known entities. They were repeat people that wanted to come back with the visas. But this year, they actually limited the amount of those visas, and it hurt our industry. It hurt our retail industry. It hurt the hotel industry and seasonal workers.
So you'd be willing to buck your own party on this?
Absolutely. You bet. You know, it isn't this one size fits all. So I'd absolutely have that discussion with my own party.
The Trump administration worked with Canada and Mexico to revise NAFTA, which has been renamed the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement. But there's not actually all that much that's changed in it. I'm wondering if you see it as more than just rebranding.
I think it was a situation where there were some things that were an imbalance, and I think the president was just trying to level the playing field. And, you know, there was a little bit of pushback, clearly, from both, but I think both Canada and Mexico are now on board to try and have fair trade across the three, and I think that's really the intent. I'm not so sure it's a rebranding. I think it's some things, you know, we talked about, you know, you can hear about the dairy tariffs from us going into Canada, and maybe some of the Mexico trade tariffs that were out there. But I think it's now more an equilibrium that's there, and I think that was beneficial to both Canada and Mexico as well.
There's been concern from voters in New Hampshire about cybersecurity and, of course, nationwide, attempts from countries like Russia and China to hack U.S. elections. Would you support securing federal funding for investing in improving cybersecurity on the local state level?
I mean, it's a global issue. So anything that we can do to protect that, I mean, there's everything that's on the table, Rick. Infrastructure is at risk. You know, banking is at risk. The grid is at risk. So absolutely, you know, anything that we can do to try to prevent that and protect it, I think, is a situation where I think that the government has a role to play.
The president, of course, has been skeptical of these issues. What's your feeling on that?
Well, if the issue is about the voting issue, you know, I would tell you that the safest state is one like New Hampshire, where we have a paper ballot. And I think that's, you know, it's very hard to spoof a paper ballot. I do know in talking to some people in the intel world, there wasn't a single vote changed through that alleged Russian hacking. I think what we saw was on a social media aspect that they try to influence it in that way. But I think at the end of the day, Rick, it really the responsibility of who I vote for rests with me as an individual based on the information I need to go out and seek. But we certainly saw that there were other foreign countries that were doing some things to try to sway our mind as to who and how we would vote. And if we were able to find those people, I think they should be prosecuted to the fullest extent.
What about a response to reports that the Saudi Arabian government has murdered journalist Jamal Khashoggi? What's your opinion and what should the U.S. response be?
These other countries that don't see life and human rights the way we do, it's very hard for us to go over there and dictate to them. But I would tell you, we should make a stand. And I think that we need to have hard talks with them. And if there are some things that are out there that we see, then maybe we should look at some sanctions that should be imposed on the Saudis and let them know that, you know, if we're going to be a world partner, you know, that's something that we cannot tolerate. And we need to talk about that.
Steve Negrin, thanks so much for your time.
Rick, thank you so much, sir.